What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Welcome, everybody, to Redacted on this Wednesday. I'm Clayton Morris. On this show, we cover the stories the mainstream media largely ignores, and we have no agenda. We're not paid by any sort of legacy media, and we don't focus on access journalism around here, trying to get interviews with Trump administration people and kissing people's asses. So if you want some of that, you need to look elsewhere. We try to give it to you straight, and that's what the show is all about. So thank you guys so much for subscribing and being a part of our community here. The flu has hit our family really hard, influenza B to be specific. So now Natalie is down, my normal co-host here, 101 degree fever. My 8-year-old is down, 101 degree fever. My 12-year-old is finally coming out of her fever, which she's had for like 5 days. So I'm like the last man standing right now. So knock on wood, hopefully I'll make it through and won't get sick at all. I felt fine though, because I'm outside getting the vitamin D, I'm taking walks. So anyway, hopefully everything will be fine, but it's been absolutely crazy. So anyway, thanks to all of you guys for watching and tuning in here and being a part of our show. We've got a very busy show for you on this Wednesday. Well, President Trump, just a short time ago, slamming Volodymyr Zelensky, saying, what the hell? Refusing to recognize the Russian control of Crimea? You're going to scuttle peace plans here as a piece of this? You're not going to recognize an area which, since 2014, voted to become part of Russia overwhelmingly? I think it was a 97% vote to become part of Russia. I know you guys continued to bomb them for many years, basically trying to carry out a genocide in what was eastern Ukraine, Donbass, Donetsk, Luhansk. But Crimea, really? Okay, so President Trump is not happy with Zelensky. Colonel Douglas McGregor is going to be joining us, because also Vice President J.D. Vance, just a short time ago on the tarmac, saying, we're ready to walk away from this. And I think that's clearly a message towards Zelensky right now. So we're going to get the very latest on all of that. Plus, we're going to talk about the real ID. It's real authoritarianism, according to our guest, Dr. Ron Paul, is going to be joining us to talk about that today on the show. And he just wrote a really incredible piece. I encourage you all to read it, about how the real ID is phony security pushed on us after 9/11. And it's amazing to me. I don't understand this. Like, I consider myself pretty darn conservative. In many ways, I consider myself libertarian, I would say. Anti-war, anti-government intervention, keep you out of our lives. I'm seeing so many conservatives right now. I don't get it. I really don't get like the conservative commentary right now on the right. They're just going along with this. These were the people who fought against this, said absolutely not, stay out of our lives. And it's like crickets. It's just crickets on like the new media on the right. I don't get it. Why? You just want access journalism? You want interviews with Trump officials? Is that the reason why you're staying quiet on this thing? It's just, I don't know. It really, really bothers me. So you want the government to have this massive database, track everything you do, tell you when you can fly, when you can't fly, all of those things with your real ID. Anyway, we'll talk with Dr. Ron Paul about that. Also, the United Kingdom planning to dim its sun. Yeah, I'm trying to dim its sun by launching some sort of cloud seeding technology, according to the Telegraph. This is coming to the United Kingdom. By the way, does the United Kingdom even have sun to begin with? Now you're going to dim it? All in the name of stopping climate change, because the temperatures are just getting too much for you out there. Okay, we're going to talk about all of that. We're going to talk about all of that and more on the show today. So good to see all of you guys here on this Wednesday. Welcome in. We are streaming live on Rumble. We stream live on YouTube every day. We stream live on Twitch, on X. David, are there any like platforms that we stream on? I see all of our Rumble fans, almost 10,000 of you watching on Rumble right now. Good to see all of you guys. Our free speech platform over on Rumble. I think, what, Twitch, X?
We are sending it to Facebook as well now.
Oh, Facebook. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
I know you love
that. To anybody watching us on Facebook, let us know. Say hello on Facebook. Yeah. Anyway. All right. Let's get to Colonel McGregor here in a second. But first, with everything that's happening in the economy, it feels like we're all walking on shaky ground. Prices stuck at really high levels. Seems like nothing is affordable right now. And it's no wonder. Many are relying on credit cards to cover the gaps. Credit card debt is skyrocketing, and it's leaving a lot of people stressed out. If you're a homeowner, you don't have to face this uncertainty alone. Our friends at American Financing can help you take control. They can help you access the equity in your home to help you pay down that high-interest credit card debt, give you peace of mind and real savings. On average, people like you are saving $800 a month. Plus, they may close your loan in as little as 10 days. Don't let the chaos of the economy get the best of you. Call American Financing right now. It costs you nothing to get started, and you may delay two mortgage payments, giving you a cushion in this uncertain time. The phone number right there on the screen is 866-890-8434, or go to the website americanfinancing.net/redacted. And here's their NMLS number, 22334. You can check that out at nmlsconsumeraccess.org. All right. Well, President Trump is pissed that Ukrainian President Zelensky, the dictator, is tanking his peace deal. Zelensky's army has all but collapsed. The numbers are at least 1.2 million Ukrainian soldiers dead, not casualties, but dead. And he's actively scuttling this peace plan. And moments ago, this news, President Trump criticizing Zelensky as Ukrainian leader remains opposed to land concessions, specifically around Crimea. And U.S. Special Envoy Steve Witkoff will head to Russia this week to meet with President Putin again to present a peace deal that would include lifting Russian sanctions, a ceasefire, and recognizing Crimea as Russian. Curious why they're leaving out Donetsk, Luhansk, and Donbass region, which also voted to become part of Russia, but one thing at a time, one step at a time. Let's bring in Colonel Douglas McGregor now to talk about this. From Our Country, Our Choice. Great to see you, Colonel, as always. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks. Good to be with you.
So what do you make of this Trump slapdown, first of all, of Zelensky? And it seems like I've seen multiple reports now that Zelensky is continuing to push back on this peace plan. I'm just confused because Putin said he was not going to sign a peace plan if Zelensky is involved in it anyway, because after all, Zelensky is a dictator and has... I mean, he's, you know, suspended elections. So why are we still talking to this guy?
Well, I'm still wondering why he was not picked up and forcibly removed from the Oval Office when he made a fool out of himself and challenged the president of the United States in front of the American and global public. I thought the man was insulting and out of touch with reality. For whatever reason, Donald Trump overlooked that, which is incomprehensible to me, and continued to treat him seriously. I think we have to understand something. Donald Trump was never accurately informed about what was happening in Ukraine. When people tried to tell him, and there were a few of us that did, that this war was going to end disastrously for Ukraine, and I certainly did in April of 2022, and that every effort should be made to stop the war as soon as possible. He was surrounded by legions of brilliant analysts like retired General Kellogg and others who were telling him, oh no, the Ukrainians are winning. It's just a matter of time. The Russians are failing miserably. The Russian military will never do anything. They're incompetent. They're corrupt. They're inadequate and so forth and so on. At the same time, insisting, of course, that the Russian military ultimately wants to conquer Eastern Europe and rule Europe. So, I mean, how you reconcile all this nonsense is beyond me. But President Trump did not listen. And he was advised that as soon as he took over, he should essentially say, I didn't start this war. It's not my war. I don't want the war. I am ending all military aid and assistance to Ukraine immediately. And I'm withdrawing all U.S. personnel, military, civilian, intelligence, everything as soon as possible or within 48, 72 hours. None of that happened. And I think it's once again, you have to look at the people that he picked for cabinet posts who were involved in all of this. And these people were indistinguishable from their predecessors. I don't know how you separate Rubio from Blinken. I just don't see much difference. Now, maybe somebody will come up with something and explain there really are very different people, but I don't see much evidence for it. So I think Rubio is just as enthusiastic about bombing Iran as anybody else and suppressing and killing and murdering people in Gaza and Lebanon and anywhere else. In other words, supporting the Greater Israel Project. I think he is no less anti-Russian, hostile to the Russians. Now he may have no choice but to change his approach. I think that's begun. But, you know, what is wrong with President Trump? I've got to tell you something. This is not the man I voted for. This is not an American first president. I think President Trump is actually very confused and uninformed. And what's happened is an enormous waste of time, money, and energy. And ultimately, we once again look ridiculous. We haven't even talked about the tariff catastrophe, which makes us look foolish and stupid. I was pleased when Elon Musk referred to Mr. Navarro as Mr. Retardo, because it's not far off. Pretty damn accurate. So, I don't know what's going on, except to say, I think the administration is in meltdown. There is no strategy. Everything is impulse-driven, Clayton. In other words, whatever the impulse is on a given day, and a lot of that depends on President Trump and what he decides, but no one has sat down and said, this is a course that we're now going to chart. We have identified our interests. We're going to get back on track and pursue those interests. But that hasn't happened. I see no evidence that it's about to happen. Everything, again, is impulse. Well, today I woke up and I decided that I'm going to give Rocket Man another chance. Or I woke up today and I've decided I've had enough of Zelensky. It's over for him. You know, that's all fine, well, and good. That's not a strategy. We need a strategic approach. And this is the thing that is hurting us overseas. People want stability and predictability from the United States. They're not getting it. They hoped for a dramatic change when Biden left because the only predictability there was the wrong course of action at every turn and bankrupt America. They were hoping that Trump would come in and recognize that we're in a lot of trouble here at home. Financially, economically, the last thing we need is to be engaged very much overseas. And the last thing we ought to be doing is promoting conflict, violence, or crisis anywhere. So, I think the whole America first thing is has turned out to be a huge disappointment. It's not there.
You're seeing a lot of that on the right, people really upset about the promises that have been made about putting America first. And it seems like that hasn't happened. I want to play something that J.D. Vance just said, though, about this peace agreement and what is going to happen here. And why do you think you're hearing this? We've heard this over the past few days from both President Trump and now J.D. Vance. Marco Rubio, as you pointed out, also said this the other day about we're ready to walk away. Take a listen.
We've issued a very explicit proposal to both the Russians and the Ukrainians, and it's time for them to either say yes or for the United States to walk away from this process. We've engaged in an extraordinary amount of diplomacy, of on-the-ground work. We've really tried to understand things from the perspective of both the Ukrainians and the Russians. What do Ukrainians care the most about? What do the Russians care the most about? And I think that we've put together a very fair proposal. We're going to see if the Europeans, the Russians, and the Ukrainians are ultimately able to get this thing over the finish line. Again, I feel pretty optimistic about it. I think everybody has been negotiating in good faith, but it's now time, I think, to take, if not the final step, one of the final steps, which is at a broad level, the party saying, we're going to stop the killing, we're going to freeze the territorial lines at some level close to where they are today, and we're going to actually put in place the kind of long-term diplomatic settlement that hopefully will lead to long-term peace.
So it sounds to me like a good plan. I mean, we're going to keep the territorial settlements where they are, where the Russian lines are. But also, I think you've pointed out many times, we have no choice, right? I mean, Russia's holding all of the cards here. So we can act all tough. It doesn't really matter at the end of the day. Russia's going to do what it's going to do. Russia's holding all the cards here. Am I reading that wrong?
Well, and keep something else in mind. These people are all delusional. Who started the war? We did.
We did.
This war would never have happened had we not staged the coup back in 2014, had we not invested billions of dollars worth of training and equipment to build up this enormous Ukrainian force, whose only purpose, quite clearly, was to attack Russia. We're the ones that bankrolled all these horrible bio labs that were engaged in all sorts of heinous experiments with genetic engineering to find a way to kill large numbers of Eastern Slavs. I mean, who are we kidding? We're not impartial. Okay, so we had an opportunity when President Trump took over to say, that's it, we're out. We have nothing to do with this. We do not support it. But we didn't do that. We walked in and pretended that we're the superpower and that if we stand in the middle, everyone has to listen to us. Wrong. We are not the world's superpower. We are one of several great powers. We may be more powerful in some areas than others, but right now, we are not the lone superpower. The world doesn't have to obey us anymore. And that's being routinely demonstrated. I'm surprised that the Russians have been polite to us at all. I mean, that's like going up to someone that just hits you in the back of your head with a baseball bat and is now saying, listen here, this person over here has been taking shots at you. We want to sort this out and bring peace between the two of you. I mean, you sit there and say, well, you just hit me over the back of the head with a baseball bat. Where have you become suddenly impartial? I think this is all delusional nonsense. I think they're covering their tracks. Clayton, we are a laughingstock in the world at the moment. That's the truth. Americans don't get it because, as you point out, your mainstream media is too busy what? Currying favor with the administration to get stories so that they can sell papers and sell news and so forth. The problem is it's all delusional nonsense. The American people should know where we are right now. We look ridiculous. And this administration is melting down. What direction are we going in? What are we trying to achieve? We just threatened everyone in the world with these ridiculous tariffs, again, on the assumption that, well, the world has to come to us. They'll have to buy our treasury bonds. They'll have to invest in us. No. They're not doing that. Money is not.
Yeah, they're
flowing.
Dumping them. China's dumping these treasury bonds. Yeah.
And everybody says, well, China has no choice. China has to do business with us. Wrong. They have an enormous opportunity within two regional organizations. One is regional to Asia, and the other is BRICS, which is global. Everybody is joining it. Everybody wants to do business. And their alternative to SWIFT for the first time is doing more business. In other words, moving more cash through its system than SWIFT does. We are on the outside looking in at a disaster that we've created. So how long can this go on? Well, I guess it goes on until, Clayton, you can't finance the government because no one will buy our bonds. And we hit 5% on the 10-year treasury, and it's over. Then you're finished. And this $1 trillion defense budget that people are dreaming about, that goes down the toilet. What else will go down the toilet? We can only imagine. Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, all of this is coming. Everybody has told us this, whether it's Luke Grohman or it's Jeffrey Gundlach or DeMartino Booth or any number of people. They have all told us this is where it's going. These policies are self-destructive. They're stupid. And it's all going to take us to the cleaners. I don't know what the president's going to do. You know, in the meantime, we say, well, the border is secure. Well, the optics are pretty good. Various parts of the border that are between the legal crossing points are relatively unpopulated at the moment. And the sheriffs are grateful in these counties and the Border Patrol likes it. But everything is still coming through the legal border crossing points because the customs officers and the police are being corrupted. So the drug trade continues. The trade in illegal trafficking and children and women continues. The movement of cash, billions down to Mexico, continues. Everything is not fixed. Everything is not getting better. So at some point, and I think you deserve a lot of credit because you've been trying to tell the truth, when the truth is told, people are going to be standing around and say, well, how did this all happen? Because unless you go to alternative media right now, you're exactly right. You're listening to fairy tales.
Yeah. I mean, I try to warn people. I've been trying to warn people for years, you know, about making sure that you don't have your family's finances tied to the U.S. dollar, that it is absolutely collapsing. Every government currency in world history has collapsed. When you're $36 trillion in debt, if your family's future is tied to the U.S. dollar, you're in deep shit. You better have some money in gold or silver or some sort of precious metals or, you know, even crypto to be able to protect your family right now. And you're seeing gold surging.
We have 51 million illegals in the country. That's the estimate, 51. There may be more.
51.
51 million. If you're serious about deporting people, then you need to get organized. You have to have a strategy. You have to have people in charge. You have to assign people the mission to go out and find them and set up transportation networks. And if we do everything right, I would say if we deport 15 to 22,000 people a day by the time Trump leaves office, if he lasts 4 years, we might have gotten rid of most of them. But that's not happening. What's the plan? What's the strategy? You know, oh, we're getting the bad guys. That's what I hear. Oh, they're really bad people. We're going to go out. Okay, that's fine. You're scratching the surface. We're talking about the restoration of law and order in our country on a grand scale. And every time we've been through these deportations going back through the last century, you know who was in charge of it? The U.S. Army.
Right.
Where
is the army? Why can't we have them on our U.S. border? Why do we have to have 50,000 of them in the Middle East right now? Why can't they be, you know, we heard deployments over the past couple of weeks, small deployments by President Trump, 1,500 here, 1,500 there. I don't know what the total troop number is right now, but how many would you put along the southern border of the United States?
Based upon what I've seen thus far, somewhere is between 40 and 60,000. And you have to divide up the border into sectors. You need to declare a federal zone that reaches at least 3 miles into the United States so that you can control and prosecute illegals in that zone as opposed to allowing them into the interior. We need to set up panels of judges appointed by the president to hear cases on the spot immediately. I mean, all of this travesty of allowing people in, giving them a court date, giving them phony social security numbers, sending them off into the interior so they can sustain themselves at great expense to us, that has to be reversed. It has to be systematically reversed. We have 100,000 plus troops sitting in Poland, Romania, Lithuania to do what? The Russians aren't interested in those countries. And the people that live in those countries are beginning to figure it out. Eventually, they'll get rid of the damn governments that have lied to them. That's true in London. That's true in Paris. It's true in Berlin. It's true in Warsaw. We got to get out of this sort of early 20th century mentality that sees enemies everywhere when, frankly, the biggest enemies we have to deal with are right here inside our country and in Mexico and the Caribbean basin. And that's where we ought to be fixed. I mean, we got a Coast Guard sailing around the Persian Gulf and the South China Sea. What?
Yeah.
What the hell is going on? You know, what is the Secretary of Defense doing about any of that? I don't see that he's going to do anything. And as you say, putting 1,500 men here, 3,000 men here, and putting them in a federal national forest that's along with a border, well, that's nice. There are 1,800 miles of border. You're talking about a very, very modest area. And these people are not stupid. They're starting to come in through very difficult areas, up through mountains and across mountains. Well, we have aviation brigades full of helicopters in the Army and the Army National Guard. What are they doing? You know, and then we have to have a, in addition, we get to a strategy, we have to have rules of engagement that make sense. There's no point in having people up there who have to stand there and be shot at or even killed and can't respond. Because right now, the enemy down there is better armed than the Border Patrol, much better armed. And they have access to great intelligence, surveillance, reconnaissance assets. I mean, I hate to go over this, but it seems like it falls on deaf ears. Everybody this wants to destroy Iran. Iran. Right.
All the focus. Enemy. Yeah. Of course, all the focus is Iran. As someone in our chat room just said, yeah, the enemies are here at home. They're not overseas. They're right here in our backyard. That's where they are. This week, I'll get you out of here on this, Colonel. This week, we heard rumors rumbling about that President Trump may do what Abraham Lincoln did during the Civil War, suspend the writ of habeas corpus. So, like, a lot of people on the right were, like, jumping on this. Like, yeah, or, you know, MAGA supporters and whatever, the people that Trump can do no wrong were like, this is amazing. Others saying, whoa, wait a second. What are you thinking here? We have the National Guard. We have the U.S. Army. Why would you need to suspend the writ of habeas corpus? What and can you explain what that is and why? Well, I don't know where you come down on this, to be honest with you, but what do you think?
Lincoln suspended the habeas corpus before the actual Civil War broke out because there were trains carrying equipment and people south into Maryland that were headed to what was obviously going to become the Confederacy. And so he said, I'm suspending the normal rule of law. So effectively, it localizes martial law. And the U.S. Army got in, got control of the trains, removed the supplies, and arrested people without trial, frankly. Now, do we need to do that at this point? I don't think so. And that's not necessary in my judgment. Again, where's the national strategy to deal with the criminality in our country and the border? Again, this is more impulse-driven. Oh, we'll suspend habeas corpus. That's what Lincoln did. Wait a minute. Do we have to do that? You know, the words martial law do not exist in the U.S. Constitution. And the only area of the United States that was under martial law during the Second World War was Hawaii. And that martial law was established there by the commander of the Pacific Fleet, which he had the authority to do. We didn't have martial law anywhere else. And that was in the middle of a war. So I'm not sure that we need to suspend habeas corpus. And I would love to hear what Judge Napolitano says about that. But what we do need is that we need a larger strategic approach. So everybody knows this is what we're doing. You know, one of the things that I urged privately and many people that are in the administration agreed with it, but he hasn't done it. First, you tell everyone who's here illegally, look, if you leave voluntarily over the next 90 days or 120 days, whatever you make it, and you register with us on the way out, we'll consider you for legal reentry in the future, assuming that, you know, whatever you've done here was not illegal other than breaking our laws when you entered the country. We could do that. No one has offered that. That should be offered. Give people an incentive to get out. And then the second thing is, if you do not leave, then you are going to be arrested and you're going to be subject to the full letter of the law inside the United States. And that could turn out to be very harsh and unpleasant. By the way, we will also confiscate all of your property, whatever you own, whatever money you've made. If you don't leave voluntarily, we'll take it. But if you leave voluntarily and you got 120 days to do it, you can leave with all of that. Now, why haven't we done that? I mean, it's simple to me. I mean, President Trump, I know him. He is not an evil man. This is not a nasty person. This is someone who is not interested in harming anybody. This is someone who really does want peace, doesn't know how the hell to get it, and surrounds himself with dangerous warmongers who misinform him. That's another problem. But when it comes to dealing with this illegal alien problem, there are ways to do this that are still humane that will still work. But you have to distinguish clearly between those that get the message and leave voluntarily and those who don't. Americans will understand that very well, and I think they'll support it.
I think they would. That's always been my biggest concern. Who is he surrounding himself with? and getting this advice, and it drives him to these impulses. You know, as you've pointed out many times, he often responds to the last person in the room, right? So who's giving him the advice? The last person in the room is how he tends to operate, unfortunately. And if he's moved in any kind of way, of course, then
you and I have not addressed Israel first as a problem. And let's face it, this is the Israel first administration. And I've been to Israel several times. I like the Israelis, but I sure as hell don't like what they're doing. And I don't see any future for this Greater Israel project. I think it's a prescription for a regional war with terrible consequences for the Israelis themselves. I think that's why the Israelis are on the verge of civil war right now, because I think a lot of them have figured this out. But we seem to be bankrolling it and pushing it without question. And I don't think we should.
No, I don't think we should either. We've been incredibly vocal about that here on the show. If this is an America first policy, why are we doing the bidding of a foreign country? And I mean, you even have like Pete Hegseth, who has been supported, very incredibly supportive of Israel. You know, I mean, I think the guy was very, very vocal about his love of Israel. And here you literally have them undermining him right now, trying to get him thrown out because, according to reports, he was one of the few people who put up their hands and said, we're not going to attack Iran. So well, even
With all due respect to Pete Hegseth, Hegseth's in a terrible position.
Yeah.
He was not qualified to be Secretary of Defense. He had no background or experience or depth to go and do that job. And he was sent into that job for the reasons that you outlined. This is a Christian Zionist. Go back and look at this video of Secretary Hegseth and his team, quote unquote, sitting across from Netanyahu and his team in the Pentagon, in the Secretary of Defense's conference room, which is right across from the Secretary's office. And he sits there and he tells them, we are here for you. We will support you. We will give you whatever you need. We are on your side. Okay, that's why he was appointed. Now, all of a sudden, he begins to see the outline of what could be a genuine strategic catastrophe. And he says, oops, maybe we ought to reconsider this, boss.
Right.
And he's in trouble. Yeah.
And now he's in trouble.
Right to say it. Yeah, I think he's right to say it. He's not the only one. I know that Tulsi Gabbard has expressed reservations about the whole thing, intelligently, of course. And I'm sure there are others. But the bottom line is, that's not apparently up for discussion. And if you take that position with this bunch, you're out. So I'll be very interested to see who ultimately comes in.
Yeah, and how long he survives. I thought by the end of the week, we had Colonel Davis on yesterday. I said, do you think Hegseth will be out by the end of the week? Or do you think Trump will double down and say, he's my guy. We're going to reinstate those three people that were fired. And we're taking an American first policy. That's like a huge leap here. But
No, that's not going to happen. I just remember when Bolton finally went away. And at first, he was reticent about firing Bolton as well. Until it got to the point, he said, listen, don't worry about him. I make all the decisions. Well, that sounds great, Mr. President, except that you don't make all of the decisions. You have this huge bureaucratic structure under you. You have a lot of people that exercise a lot of authority, whether you like it or not, in your name. So the notion that all the critical decisions are made by the president, that's just misleading nonsense. But then eventually he got rid of Bolton, and everybody was very happy. But nothing really changed very much. So I'm not sure that whatever happens to Hegseth, that anything is going to change. And that's my point. But there are plenty of people in Washington who are willing to step forward and lead the charge to war in the Middle East for Israel. So I don't think he'll have a problem finding somebody.
Colonel Douglas McGregor, great to see you as always. Thanks for your insights. We always appreciate
it. I hope that Natalie and the children recover soon. That's terrible.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I'm like it's like a tuberculosis ward around here right now. Like it's just shoving them outside.
Take ivermectin. That's what I did. Yeah. I had influenza A. So I was given ivermectin and I recovered.
All right. I got to do that. We got some in our medicine cabinet. So I'm going to try that. Colonel, great to see you. Thank you so much.
I'm not a medical doctor, so don't sue me or anything else like that. And I'm not going to be arrested. Health and Human Services. But look, I'm telling you the truth. That's what I did. It worked.
I don't think this lot's coming after you. I don't think Robert F. Kennedy's coming after you anytime soon. Maybe the last administration, they would have come after you for those kind of comments. You would have been banned on that. Colonel, great to see you. Thank you so much. And we'll touch base soon. We appreciate it.
Right. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Colonel. All right. Coming up here on the show, we're going to talk with Dr. Ron Paul about this real ID boondoggle. That's coming up next. Is it, you know, going to protect you, or is it actually a massive move towards authoritarianism? We're going to talk about that. But first, let's talk about health insurance. It's confusing. It's expensive. It's frustrating. We hate it. We refused. When we moved back to the U.S., we said we are not doing anything with these health insurance companies. Absolutely not. Claim denials are becoming more and more common. In fact, 1 in 5 of those Obamacare claims were denied last year. I have a T-shirt that says uninsured because I don't want this crap. I don't want crappy health insurance. That's why we turned to CrowdHealth. My family, incredibly happy with joining CrowdHealth. We had 2 emergency room visits in the past month, okay? My son had to be taken to the emergency room and my daughter had to be taken to the emergency room. Yes, the ER. And because we were cash buyers using CrowdHealth, our numbers for when we went were incredibly low. They said, what insurance do you have? We said, we don't use insurance. And the numbers were like 10 times less than the amount it would have been for an insurance claim. And then when we got our ER bill, CrowdHealth covered over, I think over 90% of it or 95% of it, because it's a crowd-funded experience in this fund. That's how it works. It's unbelievable. It's not insurance. We love it. We are huge supporters of it. And really just for it's $175 a month for an individual, $575 for a family of 4 or more. You'll get access to a community of people who are willing to help out in the event of an emergency. It's unbelievable. You'll get access to telemedicine visits, which we've had to do multiple times with this whole flu thing we've been dealing with. Jumping on the phone, jumping on the telemedicine. You talk to a great doctor who advises you. And then, of course, if you have to go and deal with an emergency, you'll get you get that taken care of. And you'll join the crowd, a group of members just like you who want to help pay for each other's unexpected medical events. It's a crowd-funded experience. So let CrowdHealth help you today with your healthcare needs. Starting today for just $99 with our special link, okay? Per month, $99 per month for your first 3 months if you use the code REDACTED. Go to joincrowdhealth.com. CrowdHealth is not insurance. Learn more at joincrowdhealth.com. That's joincrowdhealth.com. Use the code REDACTED. We are huge supporters of these guys.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Well, get ready to have your privacy almost totally destroyed with this new Real ID boondoggle. Of course, it's been around since the Patriot Act, since after 9/11, trying to be shoved down our throats. Well, this week or last week, Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem announced her department in May would be enforcing the Real ID law. Watch.
Hi, I'm Kristi Noem, the United States Secretary of Homeland Security. If you plan on traveling, we need your help to prevent delays and to prove your identity. Get a real ID. Starting May 7th, you will need a real ID to travel by air or to visit federal buildings in the United States. These IDs keep our country safe because they help prevent fraud and they enhance security. Please do your part to protect our country. Go today and don't delay. To learn more, go to dhs.gov/real-ID. Thank you.
Well, Dr. Ron Paul just published a new piece warning all of us about Real ID. Here it is. It's called Real ID, Phony Security, Real Authoritarianism. And of course, Dr. Paul, you can watch the videos right after 9/11 on the floor of Congress saying, don't fall for this, that this would take away our privacy. That was then. This is now. It's taken all of these years to finally put this into place. And Dr. Ron Paul joins us now. Doctor, good to see you as always. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Nice to be with you again.
So, real authoritarianism. Why are you know, Republicans are running the show. They control everything. They control the White House. They control Congress. How are they allowing this to move forward? I thought Republicans were supposed to be against this.
See, I don't know whether allowing is the right term. They're participating. It looks like they're doing it. But it is true. Some minority group has the handle on this and the authority to do it. They allow it to happen, and others haven't said too much. And it's just a shame. I guess the thing that annoys me most about this, it's for our own security. You know, catch the criminals. Everything government does always has a positive. We're going to make you rich and safe, and peace is going to break out throughout the world, and everybody's going to benefit. It's not going to cost us anything. We'll just print the money, and you won't even know what's going to happen. Deficits don't matter. They lie through their teeth, and that is what is so aggravating. So now we have this coming up. They're doing this for our sake, which is another lie. And I don't know why they do it, because a lot of good people get involved in this, and they can't really believe that. And yet somebody has to, whoever's pulling the final strings to let this go, must have a trick up their sleeve, because it's hard for me to believe that this is going to help you and me to be safer. Because what we see is the government's intrusion, that they're going to have more regulations. You're going to have real IDs. Like, you might not even be able to get on an airplane in the United States without the real ID. Hey, what do you have, another week or two to get the real ID? So it is astounding that it happens. It's astounding that Congress does it. It's astounding that people go along with it. And they went along with, you know, COVID, you know, for a couple years. And finally, they woke up and did something about it, and the people said, enough is enough. But I think right now, this thing is marching on, because we've been persuaded that the new administration wouldn't like something like that. How many of us would have predicted before the campaign, Trump will be on our side on the real ID, but look at where we are today.
When you say it's real authoritarianism, for our audience, we've been trying to educate our audience on the real ID for a while now. And I don't know that we're doing a good job of it. I hope we are. But, you know, maybe our audience is aware of this. But if anyone watching right now doesn't understand what this thing is, can you explain why this is phony security and real authoritarianism? It's just an ID, Dr. Paul. It's just, you know, just go along with it. It's just an ID.
Yeah. But all they want is the control and power over the people. So they're working for an opposite type of government than most of us. And I think the majority of Americans would, if you just put them up on the issues and not isolated it and then have it, you know, shoved down their throats, most of them would just say, no, I don't like the government to do this. But they either feel helpless or they don't understand it, and they get by and it gets bigger. But very often they fall into that. Oh, you know, maybe it does make sense. Maybe if we have this, and they're taking advantage of the opportunity of a lot of bad people that came into our country. You know, they came in. I thought it was so bad. I thought it was an invasion and not a benefit. But it wasn't an excuse to ignore the safety. They say, well, this will help make us safe from those bad people who are coming in here. And if they don't have the real ID, but you know, they don't remember the 9/11. You know, they didn't have a real ID. They got on the airplane and they used their own passports. So, the more government wants all this stuff just for control. They want control of the people. They don't want any opposition. And I think that I first became aware of this in the 1970s. It was the Bank Secrecy Act. Of course, don't you want your accounts to be secret? Well, okay, if you reveal everything to the government and they'll take care of it. But the Bank Secrecy Act had nothing to do with secrecy. It was the bank taking over and fulfilling out more and more forms. And then we ended up with FinCEN, which has tremendous power and control. And they've made an effort recently to expand, just like they're expanding the real ID. But they have too much information. They don't understand, and they don't trust people to take care of themselves. And they always play on it. What do you mean? If you didn't have food stamps and free medicine, wouldn't all people die? Yeah, then the government takes over and they say, well, they're really good doctors. Just look how much good they did with COVID. They always knew how many people should. We'll take them to the nursing homes and we'll give them all their vaccine. Oh, it didn't work. It did the opposite. So it's the way with so much economic policy, monetary policy, and getting involved in wars. We go to wars for peace through strength, and we go and then we have our empire. But the one thing is, it's limited. If people should lose enthusiasm for it, it's all coming to an end because this can't go on forever. And with a bankruptcy, that's when empires end. And we're seeing the cracks in the empire now. And the big hints will be seen by currency devaluation. And that's why we see gold. When I started looking at the monetary issue, gold was $35 an ounce, even though we weren't even allowed to own it. Now it's over $3,000 an ounce. It's even for me. How did it get here? And the world depends on that type of an assumption that the government will take care of us. They will keep us free. You have to sacrifice a little bit of freedom, and you'll be safe. It's the whole idea that has become known. That the government is there to make us safe, and the government isn't there to make us safe. They can't possibly do it. The safety is supposed to, under our system, be taken care of by people, individuals, and that's why I think they slipped that Second Amendment in. People should take care of themselves and protect themselves. But anytime they argue it's for the people get sucked into it until it's easy to do it. It's easy to sell a program because it'll be free, but it's terribly hard to get out. Just think of getting out of the wars. How long did it take? And I watched this when I had been a draftee back in the 60s, and the Vietnam War went on. Korea was another one. And look at the Middle East War, and then now Afghanistan, and we're over there. Well, we have a president now saying, I don't want to start war, and I want to end war, and the bombs increase. They keep increasing the number of bombs they're dropping on them, and they say they're going to make us free and prosperous. I'll tell you what, people need to understand the principle of liberty and what it means to be responsible for oneself. And, you know, I was very pleased when I campaigned for the presidency, the reception I got from that type of language, and the young people seemed to understand. And then when at the end of the speech, I say, you know, you won't have taxes, you won't have this and this, and you can do live your life, you can put in your bodies what you want, and the government's not going to tell you all this. And they loved it. But I thought they would wake up and say, but the one thing that you have to know, if you have your freedom to go about your way and you do well, but you try to do something, but you don't do well, you can't go crying to the government saying, the government, take care of me. You said you'd take care of me. Steal from somebody else and take care of me. My programs didn't work real well. So it's the assumption that people have to have responsibility for oneself if we expect the system to work. And I think in our early history, people looked at it that way.
Yeah, personal responsibility. We're not going to go crying to the government to prop us up with all sorts of different programs and to steal from different individuals. I mean, that's socialism, right? It's stealing from, it's picking winners and losers. It's propping up the ethanol corn lobby and choosing losers in another quadrant. You know, when you look at the real ID, I think people don't understand that. We've been warning about this. This is really a dangerous step towards mass surveillance of the American people. I mean, it standardizes sort of personal information across all the states. It ties all together with this sort of personal, you know, databases. Congressman Thomas Massie, friend of the show, said, this is proof that your physical person matches an entry in a digital database. Its power and purpose will be realized when everyone complies, but not before. So we'll all be sort of forced to comply.
Yeah, but he's one of the few that really has the understanding of that. So he has to vote to make his point. But I'm sure I'll tell you one thing. he sleeps better at night than some of these other clowns that are bringing us down and just enforcing authoritarianism. And I think what happens is people reject the notion if they can't handle the idea of being free and responsible, but they don't want it, and they think that somebody else is going to take care of them, and it doesn't happen. But they're now looking at how this could be used to totally destroy the Second Amendment. In May, they're actually hinting that you might not even be able to get on a domestic airline without the proper ID, which is a super ID, as if the ID is going to protect us from a missile and all the nonsense that goes on.
It's crazy.
So it's to me so sad that people have been indoctrinated. And I don't think the first half of our history, it was nearly this bad. But I do date some of these tragic trends from the so-called progressive era. Where the indoctrination about the economic system, the idea that you have to have secret banking and a secret Federal Reserve that can print all the money and pass it out in secret. And nobody even knows with it. And then all the people say, well, we have to stop the inflation, so we got to do A, B, C. We have to take over because we have to feed the people. So they come in and use it as an excuse. And they never tell them. Well, I had people come to my office with an inflation problem. And to them, inflation is anything prices to go up, it's inflation. Well, it's a consequence of inflation. Prices go up, but they come in and I said, well, what do you think we should do here in the Congress? And they said, send more money. They don't realize that it's the money debasement it is the problem. But I blame the educational system on that. I feel like I have a pretty good understanding the difference between the authoritarian economic system versus a free market economic system. But I didn't get any hint of how the free market worked from my high school classes, my college classes, or anywhere in that area. It came from the introduction to the sources that taught Austrian free market economics, and mainly the Mises Institute that has provided the information. It was also the FEE Foundation for Economic Education, Leonard Reed. He provided the education by providing the books in quiet. He did it quietly, but literally influenced thousands of people. So I think there are a lot of good things happening. I think the internet has helped us tremendously in spreading this message that we need and building up confidence in the people. When I discovered some of these things, I say, this is pretty neat. They think just like I do. But what I was excited about was I discovered somebody else who already did and found out who had formulated a lot of these ideas about liberty.
Yeah, I mean, that's the power of the internet. I just hope that we can marshal, voices right now and get out there and tell your members of Congress, you do not want this to be put in place. But it seems like there's just quiet among sort of like a lot of Trump supporters, a lot of the quote unquote new media people that are all sort of in the tank for President Trump. I mean, there's plenty of these like conservative shows out there, these new media shows who aren't saying a thing about real ID. They're not saying a peep about it. And it's infuriating. You talk about taking away our Second Amendment rights with this real ID, our inability to travel. To me, this reminds me of the stories we hear about these 15-minute cities where you'll be limited in your movement. They know everything you're doing, every transaction you're making. You can't fly. You've flown too much this month. Your carbon footprint is too much. It's all tied to this like central database about your life. It's terrifying to me.
But the hypocrisy of those who promote these things, it's a powerful tool, because that was more or less what the ridicule of the hypocrisy of the far left on COVID and making fun, but they themselves didn't follow the rules they were writing. And
right.
Even now, environmentally, the very wealthy, do you think they preserve gasoline and don't burn up fuel? And they want to regulate and make everybody have an electric car, thinking the electric car is going to solve all our problems? Well, I want the market to solve these problems voluntarily. And there doesn't have to be many laws. You can write them on one page. You can't lie, cheat, steal, or kill. And those laws have been, believe it or not, have been their natural laws. The natural law existed before they even had written law. That was the beginning of history. That's amazing to me how early in known history, ancient history, it was recognized you shouldn't lie and cheat and kill, and you shouldn't do this stuff. And yet what? And we're still not allowed. People aren't allowed to. People do pretend that we shouldn't do it. So individuals might get into a little trouble because the people who are in power, they have a license to lie, cheat, steal, and kill. And they run the operation. All you have to do is look at the death and destruction and the wars that we've been involved with, especially since World War II.
Oh, it's devastating. Dr. Ron Paul, always great to see you. I want our audience to go over to the ronpaulinstitute.org and read this great piece on the real ID, phony security, real authoritarianism. Always one of the great voices of clarity out there. I hope more people will listen. Dr. Paul, great to see you as always.
Great to be with you, Clayton.
Thanks, Doctor. Great to see you. Someone in our chat, KD9, said few seconds ago, this is a conspiracy theory about the driver's license. No, it's not. It's conspiratorial about it. It's been rolled out in multiple states and now at the federal level. And you saw the statement from Kristi Noem there right at the beginning, like this is coming. I mean, this is where libertarians argue that this violates the 10th Amendment, undermining state autonomy. It's basically like a de facto identification system. You know, it's a dangerous step, in my opinion, towards mass surveillance. There's people in the chat are saying Mark of the Beast. Well, that's exactly what it could be. So I know, David, you've been really fighting against the real ID for a long time.
I was only finally forced to get it in Oregon before I moved out of there because I had to update my license and they forced me to get it. So I didn't have it until like a year and a half or 2 years ago.
And why were you so vociferously opposed to it?
Because I've been paying attention since 9/11.
Yeah, exactly. If you've been paying attention and you saw Dr. Ron Paul on the floor of Congress in 2001 telling people not to fall for the Patriot Act, not to fall for real ID, not to fall for all of these things which strip our liberties. Like, do you want liberties or not? And they're always going to couch it that it's going to protect you. It's going to make you more secure, more safe. Sure.
Well, and they always sell it by saying, well, it's going to do this. And then they make it a convenience. And then you're going to have your finances tied to it. Then you're going to have, you know, this tied to it. And then let's say you don't pay a parking ticket. Okay. They're just going to take your money, you know?
Right. Right. Exactly. Just garnish your wages. Now they'll have a full database of it. And you know who won't be a part of it? The illegal criminals, the illegal aliens. So it's just, again, It's a way to like take away your guns, way to take away your Second Amendment rights, way to take away the 10th Amendment rights. And who gets hurt in it? The law-abiding Americans. Think illegal aliens are going to get real ID? All right, we've got more news to talk about. We're going to be joined by Dane Wigington to talk about the United Kingdom plans to dim its sun. Yeah, we're going to dim out the sun here in England. Because of global warming.
It's sun. They're going to dim their sun.
Yeah. Right.
Hello.
Hello. So you're just going to dim your own sun. That's literally the plan, as reported by The Telegraph. Has this been already happening? Or now we just hearing about it? Is this now, you know, has this already been happening for decades? We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But first, did you know that American homeowners have over $32 trillion in equity in their homes, and criminals are targeting that equity with a growing scam that the FBI calls house stealing. And here's how it works. Scammers transfer the title of your home out of your name on a one-page document, and it's super easy to do. They can literally go online and order a notary stamp. They can file it at the county. And you can wake up the next morning and find out that your home title has been stolen from you. The scariest part, you won't even find out about it until suddenly you start getting like collection notices and foreclosure notices in the mail. Or, hey, loans have been taken out in your name. It's absolutely crazy. And you're going to deal with all these financial and legal nightmares. The best way to protect your equity, it was with Home Title Lock's exclusive $1 million triple lock protection. I'm a paying customer of it. I pay for Home Title Lock. They didn't give me any discount. I didn't ask them for any discount. I'm a paying customer to protect my family's title of our home. This service offers 24/7 monitoring, urgent alerts, and if fraud should occur, their U.S.-based restoration team will actually spend up to $1 million to fix the fraud and restore your title. They will handle it if this happens to you. They're phenomenal. So when was the last time you checked on your title? If you're like me, the answer is never, and that's exactly what scammers are counting on. That's why I've partnered with Home Title Lock to offer you a chance to make sure you're not already a victim. When you use our promo code REDACTED at HomeTitleLock.com, you'll get 30 days of free protection and a free title history report to lock in your peace of mind. So even in that 30 days, you'll find out right away. And then in that free period, you'll find out. And then be sure to check out the $1 million triple lock protection details when you get in there. So check out our link, HomeTitleLock.com/redacted. Use the promo code REDACTED. They're a fantastic company and they're doing great work. All right. Well, this story is absolute bonkers. I don't know who the Dr. Evils that are that come up with this kind of stuff. So experiments to dim the sun are to be given a green light by the UK government. Here's the headlines from the Manchester Evening News. Yes, scientists are planning on dimming the sun in a bid to curb global warming. The UK government is set to announce funding of up to £50 million of funding for the sun dimming experiments in the coming weeks, as the Telegraph reports. They say it's all about limiting the rising temperatures. Okay. Dane Wigington, founder of geoengineeringwatch.org, and the great man behind The Dimming, which is a great documentary film about this exact subject. So who better than to talk about all of this? So the way that the Telegraph is reporting this, the way the UK is ready to move on this, Dane, it sounds like this has never happened before and they're just going to try it for the first time. Do you call BS on that?
I do. That's exactly how they want it to sound, Clayton, so that they could pretend that they might do this someday, when in fact these operations have been fully deployed since immediately after World War II. So they continue this grand facade, not just the UK, but also in the US, with what the US EPA head posted last week, that he's going to investigate the Make Sunsets group, as we discussed off air, too. Clowns from Silicon Valley that launched a few balloons. So they continue this grand facade, governments in both countries pretending this hasn't been ongoing for decades already, with catastrophic results manifesting worse by the day.
So what they're saying is it's all about global warming. So they're really worried about rising temperatures on the Earth, which we've fully debunked here on this show, that even if the Earth has risen a little bit, it's compared to what? Compared to what in history? We're going through these natural, cooling and warming periods. And so they're going to protect England if they do this? It would only be them that would be protected by this madness?
You can't just geoengineer over your own country, Clayton. You're correct about that. Bottom line is you affect the entire planet, and they know this. So we have documents at geoengineeringwatch.org. Government documents, former presidential documents, Senate documents. In fact, one is 800 pages long, former U.S. Senate document from 1978, describing the scope and scale of these operations even then, and the intergovernmental cooperation even then, and even between, quote, otherwise adversarial nations, China, Russia, U.S., historical fact of record. Soviet climate engineering scientists were touring U.S. climate engineering facilities during the height of the Cold War in the 60s, and our scientists touring theirs. Again, they continue this grand facade. In regard to the state of the climate, what we would encourage people to do from all sides of the fence is to simply follow this inarguable trajectory. How can we have any reasonable conversation about the climate, any legitimate conversation about the climate, without first and foremost addressing the climate engineering elephant in the equation? So from all sides of the fence, we should agree on that. And the whole environmental community, the AOCs, the Al Gores, their denial of what's taking place in our skies is criminal hypocrisy. You can't have any claim to have any concern about the environment from any perspective without addressing this first. This is the single most destructive human activity ever deployed by our species.
And so what chemicals are we talking about here that they would be using in the sky to try to dim the sun? And how devastating would it be to human beings, to the soil, to plant life, to animal life?
If I could change the context to is and has been.
Is and has been. I should have said that. Yes. Yeah, for decades, they've been doing this, is currently. And so really no difference than what they've already been doing.
Yes. They're simply trying to keep the facade going that they could, may, might do this someday. So we know, we're not speculating, theorizing, or hypothesizing. We know what they're dispersing from hundreds of lab tests all over the world. We took a National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration flying lab to altitude, top scientists in it, all in the film to dimming. So we know we have aluminum, nanoparticles, and by the way, the smaller the particle, the more lethal they are to everything, the entire web of life. And none of the air quality testing, none of it, identifies this mountain of toxic materials, Clayton, by design. The whole system is designed not to show this because they test for 10 microns generally, occasionally 2.5 microns. Nanoparticles are inconceivably smaller. They go completely under the radar by design. Aluminum, barium, strontium, manganese, polymer fibers, surfactants, graphene. Clayton, have you ever seen, after a rain event, foaming runoff down gutters?
Yes.
Okay, those are surfactants, and that can be extreme on occasion. In fact, we have massive sea foaming events, which is the dispersion of these materials over our oceans. And again, we have a whole so-called science community pretending that this is some natural phenomenon, just like they're pretending the weather and temperature whiplash. Clayton, have you seen the radical degree to which temperatures are swinging back and forth, up and down, 50 and 60 degrees in a day? Have you seen that?
Oh, I've not only seen it, I've felt it. Or one day you're wearing shorts and suddenly the next day it's snowing, which is exactly what happened here last week.
Brand new science studies out this week from nature.com citing these radical swings and stating they just don't know why this is happening. And this is where the true insanity of our species and the whole structure of our system in academia becomes apparent. When the so-called scientists can't seem to see the elephant in the sky, and these radical swings are from patented processes of chemical ice nucleation for weather modification. These are endothermic, aka energy absorbing materials. Again, patented processes dispersed into cloud moisture, creates a cold, dense layer of air that descends to the surface, can be sometimes only a few hundred feet thick. And that's why you have also, Clayton, have you seen all the ice storms we have now and the constant massive hail? Constant. Have you noted that?
I think we talked a little bit about that. And I know I experienced this massive hailstorm with, I mean, huge. I had to get my new truck like into some sort of protective area so that I wouldn't be destroyed after I just bought the darn thing. And they were huge.
It's now become the norm. Insurance companies are canceling everywhere for hail specifically. Again, that's chemical ice nucleating operations. That's part of climate engineering. I mean, the scope and scale of these programs, the degree to which they're derailing the entire hydrological cycle is inconceivable. And about global dimming, the stated purpose in the report you cited, that figure based on various science studies can range anywhere between 20 and 30% already today. What's that mean? Doesn't mean a 20 to 30% drop in visible light. It's a drop in direct sunlight, and that is the expressed purpose of these programs, solar radiation management, stratospheric aerosol injection, cloud albedo enhancement. So that's today, right now, and that's what brought me into this, Clayton, was my home, off-grid home, which was on the cover of Home Power Magazine, world's largest renewable energy magazine. My loss of solar power was 60, 70, 80%. I knew that couldn't be just, quote, condensation, certainly not just jet exhaust. And by the way, that's a narrative that's being propagated by some circles now that is incredibly alarming to us. We're so far past that point. This is not jet exhaust in our skies. It's a sprayed particulate dispersion. We have up close film footage of these aircraft at altitude, nozzles visible, turning dispersions on and off. So there's a concerted effort right now to try to muddy the water, still claiming this is, quote, jet exhaust, and it covers our entire horizon. And we extrapolated, Clayton, how much material is being dispersed based on hundreds of lab tests in Minnesota, working with the University of Minnesota. And it appears globally, based on the research we did in Minnesota, and extrapolating that globally on an annual basis, somewhere in the range of 40 to 60 million tons of highly toxic nanoparticles are being sprayed into our skies annually, which is making every single function of the planet's life support systems worse, not better. It's damaging already damaged systems. This is a fast track to planetary omnicide, Clayton, if they allow these programs to continue.
It's absolutely devastating. I mean, you think, well, England doesn't even have enough sunlight as it is. You want to dim more of it? How much more damage can you already do? It's disgusting. We talk about the aluminum piece here. Philip, our esteemed technical director here and producer, you know, has a background in molecular biology. We were talking after your appearance on the show a few weeks ago about aluminum, and I didn't even know it. It was after our show. We were just chatting here about, because you continue to always blow us away. But after the show, we were talking about how this aluminum, Philip, can you explain again what we're talking about here? So you think, oh, it's fine on its own if it's just there in the soil, but go explain that.
So aluminum, like just metallic aluminum, is it doesn't really do a whole lot to the environment other than just be there. But once your soil acidity hits about 5.5 pH, it becomes soluble. Then plants take it up, and then you've got soluble aluminum, which is just devastating to plant life and then anything that eats it. So then you've basically like taken a metal and turned it environmentally toxic. And 5.5 pH is not very acidic. It doesn't take a whole lot of acidity in the soil to make it soluble.
Everything Philip just stated is exactly on target, exactly correct. So we know that aluminum does not exist in free form naturally in the environment, always bonded to other elements, highly reactive. If it's in free form and it's in our precipitation, that means it's been mined and refined and dispersed, period. Bioavailable aluminum, highly toxic to all life forms, period, no exceptions. In regard to the pH, and that's completely correct as well, 5.5 is when it becomes reactive again and bioavailable. Precipitation now is somewhere in the range, if it's untainted, of 5.6. We're walking a razor's edge here from precipitation that is just acidic enough to start freeing up this metal that's being dispersed in our skies. And now, it's already in bioavailable form. And we have peer-reviewed study to prove that this bioavailable aluminum in our rain is killing root systems. Clayton and Philip, have you seen how many trees tip over now every time the wind blows? Have you noticed that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The root systems are dying back just like their crowns are dying back. This bioavailable toxic metal in the rain is killing soil microbiome, which is killing root systems. And there are more life forms below the surface of the soil than above. People don't realize that. You can't sterilize the soil and expect to grow food for very long. And we have other ramifications as well that are ongoing and worsening by the day. Climate engineering operations are destroying the ozone layer. It's not hairspray cans. CFCs are a problem, but it's an ant compared to an elephant when we look at climate engineering operations. So climate engineering and the oxidative particles they're dispersing in the atmosphere, along with the frequency transmissions used to manipulate them, is destroying the ozone layer. No, it's not getting better. Again, that's more smoke and mirrors. Even though the sun feels incredibly intense on your skin, on surfaces, we have more car deaths every year because that thermal energy penetration is heating cars far faster than people have been used to it. So the signs are everywhere. It's burning the bark off of trees. The cambium layers are being burnt off trees from tip to trunk. And they're telling us it's better. So again, so many people will ignore their senses, their eyesight. They can see what's happening in the skies. If someone will just tell them, don't worry, everything's fine, go to sleep. The ramifications for what's happening in our skies can't be overstated. And the amount of materials we're breathing with every breath we take, again, how is this not an immediate fight for life, Clayton?
You're right. Well, I think it's absolutely intentional. It's the intentional population control, intentional destruction of our planet that these globalists are doing to us. I don't see it. I can't see it any other way right now. I really can't. And as Natalie, who's upstairs feeling awful and sick, she texted, she said, imagine you got solar panels because the government told you to, and then they do this to you, right? Then they block out your energy. They tell you to get this stuff and then they block it out.
Natalie's point is so on target. It's so completely on target. So for all of these green communities, again, the AOCs, the Al Gores, how ludicrous is it to deploy light scattering particles into our sky, which is rendering commercial solar installations, and I've worked on them. I've worked on some of the first ones in the country for Bechtel Power and other firms when I was in that industry. So we're blocking direct sunlight. Again, I lose on some days 70, 80% of my solar PV uptake from the loss of direct sunlight. Again, I want to stress that. People think, well, it wasn't 70 or 80% darker. No, I'm not saying that. It's not visible light. It's direct sunlight, without which solar panels don't work. So we know some commercial solar facilities are producing half their design output because of what they're putting in the sky. But it's not just solar. Climate engineering operations and the aerosols they deploy are also radically diminishing the other two primary forms of alternative energy, hydro and wind. Because you're affecting convection with these light scattering particles that cover the sky from horizon to horizon, now what we see is all or nothing wind scenarios. It either blows far harder than it should or has historically, or not at all. In the case of a wind turbine, if the wind speed is doubled, Clayton, the power output is zero because you have to shut that turbine down to keep it from blowing apart. If you cut that wind speed in half, the power output is 1/8 of its design output rating because that's not optimal speed for the turbine. So again, 1/8 of the power or nothing. And that's what we face there. And hydro, like in the Southwest, where they're literally cutting off the precipitation. And Clayton, I fully agree with you. You're completely correct. Is this a targeting? In many ways, yes, that's absolutely what it is. The systematic impact of these operations, which we can see on satellite over agricultural regions, for example, there's no question this is a systematic targeting, flash freeze, flash flood, flash drought. So in the case of the droughts cutting off precipitation, the dams like Hoover Dam and Page Canyon Dam, the hydropower is soon to be zero because there's no water. So all three forms of alternative energy, radically diminished by climate engineering. Natalie's completely correct.
It's unbelievable. I mean, we had like 40 or 45 solar panels powering our older house. I would look at the app and watch it and monitor it, you know, as it was going. And as soon as clouds would come over, I could instantly see it drop. I mean, it would drop down significantly. So people think, oh, the ambient solar light. No. It's direct sunlight. So if there's any clouds, boom, it just plummets. It's unbelievable to watch.
You're completely correct. Yeah, they only function off direct sunlight. And again, back to what we're breathing in every breath we take, we have recent peer-reviewed study that cited that we may be inhaling, depending on the circumstances and location, as many as 20 million nanoparticles in a single breath. That's inconceivable. It sounds impossible, and most people might not understand how that could be. But you have to consider that you can fit as many as 100,000 nanoparticles across the width of a single human hair. These particles are the most lethal of all, and they're going completely unreported. I've been in high-level EPA meetings at the California State Capitol, arranged by congressional reps, top EPA officials there, told to my face the entire system is rigged. They're told to test for combustion particulates only, PM10 only. The rest of the samples go out the window. So again, the system has been designed not to show this incredibly lethal ongoing dispersion of materials into our atmosphere that's virtually annihilating all forms of the planet's life support systems, our food, our water. And again, it's building up in us. I want to stress that. These are bioavailable and bioaccumulative, so they're highly inflammatory in our systems, and we have peer-reviewed study to prove, even in the case of the nanoparticles of plastic. Have you seen recent studies, Clayton, that are reporting the microplastics building up in our systems?
Yeah, it's incredibly disturbing. They're finding it in male reproductive organs. I mean, they're finding it everywhere.
Yes, and everywhere from hearts, livers, brains, placentas. And polymer nanofibers are a primary element named in climate engineering patents. Yes, we have decomposing plastic around the world. We're not denying that. But we have particles that appear to be manufactured, and we will soon post an exchange between myself and a microbiologist from Rensselaer Polytechnic in New York, identifying some of the samples that we took from altitude as being manufactured particles, period. This is not just decomposition. Again, the proof is indisputable at this point. We're in a fight for life right here, right now.
Dane, I'll ask you this. I got some documents that were sent to me from an anonymous source, and these were a list of patents. I'm going through them now, but that show climate engineering patents going back decades, and there's specific patents for specifically manipulating the weather. How many patents overall do you think the United States Patent Office has that are specifically towards geoengineering?
In that general field, well over 200. They go back well over a century. Listeners can search geoengineeringwatch.org extensive list of patents. They can find those. And at the very beginning of the Deming documentary, they can see the actual diagrams of the dispersion systems for heavy aircraft carriers, just like commercial aircraft. It's all there at the very beginning of the Deming. So again, the notion that this is something they could, may, might do someday, I challenge people to use your sense of reason and logic and look up. Our skies look like something from a science fiction movie most of the time now. And this is another major factor, Clayton, where the damage to the planet needs to be considered in this equation, that these operations are diminishing the planet's ability to produce natural cloud cover. And that problem should be obvious. That's part of how the planet cools itself. And climate engineering is thwarting that process. Again, we're back to the pharmaceutical approach. And this is a weapon, by the way. Again, it's a covert weapon of the controllers because they can and are bringing populations to their knees without those populations ever even knowing they're under assault. But if we diminish or irreparably damage the planet's natural cloud-making processes, we're done. It's that simple. So again, the ramifications from these programs, virtually in every single foundational factor of what allows life to exist in this planet, this is a real and immediate threat of planetary omnicide.
Dane Wigington, we really appreciate it. As always, geoengineeringwatch.org. Go there, read the documents, look at it. It's all right there. They're trying to tell us that this is new. They're going to roll this out in England in a few weeks. It's never been done before, right? Just look up in the skies. It's happening all around us and killing us right now. Dane, quite thank literally. You so much. Yeah. Thank you so much for your work in this and educating all of us about this. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Clayton. My thanks to you and Natalie and your voice in this equation. It's so important to have figures like yourself sounding the alarm on this issue. So my deepest gratitude to you and Redacted.
Well, my deepest gratitude for you for being able to join us here and really shine a light on these stories, because more people need to hear it. And the Trump administration needs to hear it. And these global leaders need to hear it if they're unaware of it. So thank you for your work, Dane. We appreciate it.
Team effort.
All right, more news coming up here. We're going to talk about Klaus Schwab, talk about globalists here in a second. We're going to talk about him and why he's under investigation. But it's all very fishy. Like, really? Why now? Okay. Like, we know he's an evil guy. Why is this happening now? But I don't know. To me, it sounds like a distraction. What do you guys think about it? And we're also going to talk about this $5,000 baby bonus. Trump appears to be moving towards it. But liberals are really upset about it. They're calling it racist. It's racist. It's racist. But first, tax day, of course, has passed us by. But for millions of Americans, the real trouble is just beginning. If you missed the April 15th deadline or still owe back taxes, the IRS is ramping up enforcement. Every day you wait only makes things worse. With over 5,000 new tax liens filed daily and tools like property seizures, bank levies, wage garnishments, the IRS is applying pressure at levels we haven't seen in years. Increased administrative scrutiny means collections are moving much faster. The good news is there's still time for Tax Network USA to help you out. If you're self-employed or you're a business owner, even if your books are a mess, they've got it covered. Tax Network USA specializes in cleaning up financial chaos and getting you back on track fast. Even after the deadline, it's not too late to regain control. So call them right now, 1-800-958-1000, or visit tnusa.com/redacted. You may have missed your April 15th deadline, but if you haven't run out of options yet. Let Tax Network USA help before the IRS makes the next move. 1-800-958-1000, or visit tnusa.com/redacted. All right. So I got my notes here. Thank you guys all for subscribing, by the way. I don't ask you guys to subscribe if you're watching for the first time. Actually, drop me a, hey, I'm new here, in the chat. We're live every day at 4 p.m. Eastern time. My co-host Natalie is not feeling well today, so she is off. I spent over 10 years working for Fox News Channel, was a reporter all over the country, finally got out of the legacy media racket, and I'm very happy. I'm very happy that I don't have to answer to anybody And it's great to be here and be able to cover the stories that I think matter and do not get coverage in the mainstream media. And I don't have an agenda, so we're not afraid to cover stories that are uncomfortable, like a lot of other channels don't want to cover them, because I feel like they don't cover the stories because they don't want to lose their opportunity to get access journalism, you know, access to interviews and stuff like that. Oh, you were critical of J.D. Vance? Well, then J.D. Vance is not going to do your show. Oh, you were critical of Kristi Noem? Oh, you can't get an interview with Kristi Noem? Oh, bummer. Anyway, we're not going to mention that here.
Not to mention that if you're critical of the industrial military complex, they'll just pull your funding.
Right.
Or yeah. Your little TV show.
So good news. We don't take any money from Big Pharma. We don't take any money from the military industrial complex like the legacy media does. I remember one day where my old job, I remember watching a commercial and I was like, they just had a Northrop Grumman ad on there. Or like, this segment's brought to you by Pfizer over on NBC. Like, how are you going to cover COVID if you're literally taking money from Pfizer? Okay. So anyway, if you're new here, I'd love to see if you're new here and just say hello. So spent, many, many years in the legacy media and got out of that racket in 2017, and feels great to be free as a bird and do any of the stories that I want to do on the show. So thank you guys for joining us. Red pill trip. Clayton got upset yesterday and went in for a quadruple 8-minute session and wore Natalie out. No, she has the flu. I wish that were the case, but not the case. No. Anyway, let's talk about this. Why are the globalists eating their own leader, Klaus Schwab? Is Klaus Schwab a scoundrel? Is he Dr. Evil? Yes, he is, of course. He is, but did he also scam the World Economic Forum? Fraud? That is what the WEF is claiming, and the claims are pretty thin, and I want to know the bigger story here. Like, when you hear this story that Klaus Schwab is under investigation, no. Like, what's the real story? What's really going on here? Why are they turning against their founder? Schwab resigned as the head of the WEF, and now the organization reports he's under investigation due to a new whistleblower letter alleging financial and ethical misconduct by the longtime leader and his wife. Now, he refutes the allegations, but he was ousted before he could even make the case about it. Some of the allegations include instructing aides to withdraw cash from the WEF funds so that he could pay masseuses. Okay. Or that they would schedule WEF meetings in fancy places so they could take trips there. Wait a minute. What? Aren't those just business expenses? This is their entire business model. As I was talking with Natalie today, like, if you could think of one organization where they get together in fancy places on purpose, it's the WEF. That's their whole business model. Join the WEF. We hold conferences in fancy places. Like, what? Okay. So he has meetings in fancy places? And he pays a masseuse out of the business funds? That's actually a lot of companies do that with their own healthcare plans. Like, that's a business expense. Okay. So are they going to now start holding their meetings at the Hilton banquet rooms near the airport in Newark, New Jersey? Going to a Holiday Inn Express all of a sudden? Like, what? Okay. Companies pay for massages for their executives all the time as part of their wellness programs. And if you want to have a business meeting in a fancy place, then you're free to do so as long as you really do hold meetings in those places. Like, if you go to Jackson Hole, Wyoming and hold a meeting and you're actually in sessions all day meeting with people, that's a business expense. It doesn't matter how fancy the place is. They also say he wasn't nice to women, and that he and his wife renovated a fancy home for use by the WEF, but then they controlled it too much. Okay. So this is the villa here. Take a look at this. This is Villa Mundi, a luxury property purchased before the pandemic by the World Economic Forum next to the organization's headquarters in Geneva. Now, the whistleblower says that Schwab and his wife renovated it for use by the World Economic Forum, and then they used it personally too much. Which is a lot of executives do this. I fail to see the scandal.
Yeah, what you had said right off the top was how thin this was. Like, the allegation that they're claiming he wasn't nice to women, that is not an allegation of anything. Like, they're not saying he was mean to women. or that he abused them in any way. Saying, oh, yeah, and it's like, yeah, yeah, and he also doesn't like puppies. I mean, they might as well throw that in there, too. That's about what that sounds like to me.
Right. Oh, he's not nice to women? He got angry at women? What, you're not allowed to get angry at women? Are they like a, are they a protected class? You can't get mad at women. Okay, you have to like all women. Really? I worked with some evil women that I didn't like. I didn't like them. I couldn't stand them. I didn't want to be near them over the years. So this really, this all smells very, very fishy. Maybe a clue is the celebrities that are part of this that are now throwing him overboard. According to the World Economic Forum, Wall Street Journal says, behind the scenes, a high-stakes boardroom drama unfolded, pitting Schwab against the global power players on the forum's board. The board includes celebrities like celloist Yo-Yo Ma and politicians like Al Gore. It also has business leaders like the AXA Group CEO Thomas Burble and Accenture CEO Julie Sweet. Okay. So maybe it's the celebrities that are part of this. I don't know. There's more to this story that I think is going to come out. To me, the whole thing smells fishy. He was going to hand over the World Economic Forum to like his family members, but now we have an interim president, which we talked about yesterday here on the show, that evil man from Nestle, former Nestle CEO. So I don't know. The whole story smells fishy to me. He's under investigation by the group that he founded. Doesn't make any sense to me. What do you guys think about it? Let me know in the comments below. I smell a rat. I'm telling you, I've been around too long in this business. This racket. I smell a rat. Well, President Trump appears ready to give $5,000 bonuses for having babies. U.S. fertility rate has dropped to an all-time low, 54 births per 1,000 women in 2023. That's less than half of where it was in the 1950s and 1957. It peaked at 129 births per 1,000 women. America has a baby crisis, and President Trump is ready to stop that decline, put that baby bonus in place for mothers, have a baby, get $5,000 from the government. It seems that that's moving forward, and he says it sounds like a good idea. I wonder how many other bonuses might be associated with it, because like Russia, as we pointed out, managed to reverse their birth gap crisis after the fall of the Soviet Union. It was devastating. No one had any money to have a baby. Couldn't afford it. They couldn't afford to live themselves. So they had a similar plan, and it's actually worked tremendously well. Russian families who have babies are able to get this bonus, but they're also able to get that, like that first-time home buyer credit, be able to buy a home, get a mortgage bonus on their house, encouraging them to start a family, buy a home. It's worked in Russia. The New York Times first reported the plan, saying that Trump was looking into a financial reward to increase the U.S. birth rate. Trump was asked by reporters, though, yesterday, whether he might consider some kind of bonus to women for having a child. And he says, yep, that sounds like a good idea to me. Remember, J.D. Vance is all on board with this. He said the same thing. Let's have more babies in America. And he's pushing it big time.
So let me say very simply, I want more babies in the United States of America.
Now, Turf Dog in our chat here on Rumble says it doesn't fix the root cause. Right, but you've got to do something to stop the bleeding. The root cause, well, it could be what we just did in our last segment with Dane, by the way, right? Which is that you have, you know, this climate engineering that's destroying everything and lowering fertility rates. It's also the economy, and people can't afford themselves, let alone also going to feed a baby, right? So I agree with you on the root cause of it, but can you do some things now to at least stop some of the bleeding here and help people start having, because it's going to take a long time to reverse this problem right now. But of course, any good idea by President Trump has to be labeled racist by liberals. Somehow the smug morons over at The View think that this is just a racial plan to hurt, a racist plan to hurt black people.
Because when I look at something like this, these proposals, I want to know why, and I want to know who's making them. And so when I looked into that, they're saying that the U.S. birth rate is declining. However, in 2024, there was a 1% increase in U.S. births. Uh-huh. But that increase was with Hispanic mothers, mm-hmm, and Asian mothers. Ah, ha, ha. So they don't seem to be concerned about that increase. They seem to be more concerned about a decrease in other populations.
Say it.
No, I think I've said enough.
It's not based on that.
And so, well, it's just based on a study. And so the other thing,
but have
I will
they said that anywhere? I mean, I feel like
yeah,
it should be
it's
fair.
Just, it's just
fair to hope.
It's just a.
Have
just
they said that this is to target only white families?
Oh, I didn't say that.
You have to read between the lines.
I just gave the stats.
Yeah, but it's about economics.
These people are repugnant, absolutely repugnant. Oh, because there's been a slight increase. She's also leaving out the fact that there's been a massive increase in mortality rates. So great, you've got this like a little 1% blip. Does not account for the people that are dying prematurely from other issues. These people are repugnant. So, oh, it's racist to want. This isn't like targeting a specific group, like Trump's going to give out $5,000 checks to white people. They've been trying to paint him as a racist for so many years. Like, they keep going back to this well, you know, the whole very good people on both sides, BS. It's unbelievable to me. So yeah, it's just for white people. No, it's for all. It would be for all Americans who are having babies. Great. And so by her logic, then, if Hispanics are right now, even in this economic turmoil, having slightly more amounts of babies than white people, then this should like, oh my God, explode the Hispanic population, wouldn't it? Now they have actually more money in their pocket to feed their children, and maybe they would have been encouraged to have a third child or a fourth child. So by her logic, it makes zero sense. But also, it would float all boats, right? Wouldn't it? I mean, maybe I'm missing something here, but it's ridiculous. Here's one that'll make your blood boil if that didn't. A Minnesota State employee, Dylan Adams, who works as a fiscal policy analyst for Governor Tim Walz's Department of Human Services, was caught on video allegedly vandalizing 6 Teslas, racking up over $21,000 in damage. Here's just some of the hidden footage. I love that people don't realize that Teslas have cameras all over them. So here he comes walking a dog. Oh, you know, Tesla, I'm just going to scratch the hell out of that car. Bye. Now, that wasn't enough. Another day, another outfit that he's wearing here in a parking lot. Just going to walk up. This one's recording. There he comes and just decides to scratch this one as well. He's like scoping them out. I think he's like going all over Minnesota right now. It's like going all over the place trying to damage these cars, drawing right in them. So he was caught, of course. Here's his mugshot. What are the consequences? Apparently none. On Monday, Hennepin County Attorney Mary Moriarty's office announced that they won't be filing felony charges. Instead, they're opting for something they're calling pre-charge diversion. Pre-charge diversion, which basically means Adams walks away without a criminal record as long as he meets a few requirements. So just imagine for a second if this situation were reversed. What if a conservative did the same thing to cars with, like, I don't know, progressive bumper stickers on them, like a Bernie Sanders bumper sticker, or like a Black Lives Matter bumper sticker, or, you know, name your, I don't know, LGBTQ plus MS-13 bumper sticker, you know? Would they be given the same slap on the wrist? Of course not. The media would be all over it. They'd be covering it like crazy. By the way, you're never going to see this story on the mainstream media. Like, this story here is not going to be featured on MSNBC, CNN, the nightly news with Lester Holt, if he still has a job, the Today Show, The View. No coverage of it whatsoever. So Minnesota already is in chaos as it is. So you think that they wouldn't want to be playing these games, but I guess if you just target the right people, you just go after conservatives, then I guess you're fine. And the Tim Walz's Hennepin County attorney, we're not going to prosecute. He's fine. No worries. Unbelievable. So I'd be curious what will he face? Will he face some sort of, how many fines? We don't know yet. We don't actually know. So anyway, let me know your thoughts on that in the comments below. All right, everyone. Thank you guys for hanging out with us today. Hey, we have a daily newsletter. Would love for you to subscribe to it. It's totally free. Just go to redacted.inc. Put in your email address, and then you'll receive a welcome email from me. And then you just got to move it over to your inbox, because I think it goes to your spam folder, your junk folder. Gmail labels our newsletter as dangerous, so it might go to your dangerous folder. And anyway, we publish it first thing in the morning. Natalie writes it every day. We really try to give you a great newsletter that covers stories you're not going to see other places. And you can read it about 5 or 10 minutes over your cup of coffee. Plus, it's sort of like our direct line to you guys, because, you know, we've been banned on these platforms before. And when we've been banned and blocked and had our show taken off the air for 2 weeks, the only way we were able to communicate and let you guys know what was going on was through the newsletter. So we weren't even able to post a community post or anything on our YouTube channel and stuff. So anyways, and on our Facebook as well. So yeah, sign up for it. It's totally free. It's a great newsletter. Redacted.inc. All right, everyone. Thank you guys for joining us today. We really appreciate it. Cobalt Rocks. Love you, Clayton. Redacted is so important to me. Thank you so much. You are important to me. Without you guys, we wouldn't be able to do this show. I love, you know, when I'm out the airports or at the mall or some other place going out. I was at the gun range the other day and someone came up and said they watched the show. And I, you know, hey, thank you guys so much for that. Where else? I was at Costco the other day and some folks came up and said hello. I was at the Apple store. Big viewer of Redacted at the Apple store. Great guy. We ended up talking for like 30 minutes just about what's going on in the world. So if you ever were out in public, just don't be shy. Come up and say something. Say hello. We love talking with you. Natalie and I were in Florida and the kids were hanging out separately and we were just sat there talking at a little restaurant, Natalie and I. And a viewer came up to me. She said, "I know who you guys are. I love your show." And she's like, "I don't want to bother you." And she just ran off. And we're like, no, come say hi. We'd love to talk with you guys. So we really appreciate it. And we love you guys. So have a great night, everyone. We'll be back here tomorrow. I will be. I don't know if my sick family will be, if Natalie will be back. But anyway, she just texted me. She's still got 101 degree fever. So we'll see. Anyway, thanks, everyone. We'll see you back here tomorrow.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.